Proverbs 31 is actually words of advice given by the queen mother to her son Lemuel, King Lemuel. And at verse 10, we see that she is very anxious for who her son will marry. Like most moms, she is eager to see that he marries the right kind of a woman. And she says to him, an excellent wife who can find. These words of advice present a challenge to her son. Who can find such a noble woman, such an excellent wife? The point here is that his mother is saying, son, this is a rarity. However, it is essential. Look for this woman. Look for this woman because she will be more valuable to you than a bag of rubies, more valuable to you than a chest of jewels. And then she explains why. She wants him to know that this woman, whoever she may be, this virtuous woman, will actually impact the entire family and will impact the direction in which each person under that roof will go. Because of her example, she will be a determining factor, not the only factor, but a very significant factor in the life of everybody in that household. So at verse 11, she says to her son that because of this woman's noble character, her husband is going to have confidence in her. That is to say, that this virtuous woman is a trustworthy woman, and she will actually cause him to prosper. Look at verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. From her will exude this perpetual spring of goodness. Because of her character, no harm will come to him through her. In fact, she undergirds her husband not only with supportive words, but with supportive action. And so here she says, young man, find this woman. She will be essential for your success in whatever you may endeavor. In this case, he was going to be a king. Find this woman, no matter how hard it is. And in this portion of the scriptures, the very last chapter in the book of Proverbs in your Old Testament, we see here laid out six characteristics that describe a virtuous woman, a virtuous mother and wife. But before we look at these six characteristics, I want you to note that these same principles are applicable to men. This is not just for females, it's for males as well. However, the way these principles are displayed in a man may be different than in a woman. How they are carried out may be very well different, but nonetheless, these are principles that are applicable to any and every single one of us. And here's the first one. It's recorded in verses 13, 14, and 15. The virtuous woman is a hard-working woman. And in verse 13, it says, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's a hard-working woman. She is looking to take care of the immediate needs surrounding her household. Here it speaks of how she is eager to clothe her family. She puts her hands to work. In the ancient culture, this meant wool and flax. You take the sheep and the wheat, that turns into wool and flax. It reminds me of the board game Settlers of Catan. From there, she makes clothes for her family. In modern culture, it would be more like Walmart and the mall, or Amazon and consignment stores. Whatever the case, she is eager to put clothes on her children, on her husband. But not only that, but she also provides for their dietary needs. Verse 14 speaks of her as being like a merchant ship that comes from a distance bringing her cargo. She goes to great lengths to provide daily sustenance, daily food for her family. I do think that feeding the household is probably one of the least appreciated household chores that a mother has. Certainly anybody will appreciate a good meal. However, when you consider the fact that mothers scour the aisles at the supermarket looking for sales, comparing prices, clipping coupons, the hours it takes to prepare the meal and then, of course, clean up the meal. And if your house is anything like mine, once the food is on the table, in about 15 minutes, it's over. It's consumed. And we take it for granted, all the effort, all the work that she puts into it. Well, the hardworking mother is the one who provides physically clothing and food for their family. Verse 15 tells us that she makes good use of her day. She rises while it is yet night. She's up before everybody else. Why, she's up even before the sun. Whether it's to make breakfast or to prepare lunches or begin defrosting tonight's dinner, the idea is that she gets up and she is able to take care of those in her home even before they're out of bed. Notice here the biblical priority of motherhood. There are numerous things that a mother can involve herself in. Good things. She could be and ought to be involved in her community, in her church ministries. She could be involved in a career. These are all important. But the biblical order is that the priority for mom is her family. Not your career, not your business, not your ministry, but rather the well-being of your family. Your family desperately needs you. Your family is desperately dependent on you. The virtuous woman is an industrious woman. She takes care of her family's immediate day-to-day needs. But notice here, beginning at verse 16, right on down to verse 19, that she's also a sensible person. She takes care of potential future needs as well. That is to say, that the virtuous woman is one who plans out and makes decisions that are going to benefit the future of the home. Verse 16 reads, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Notice here, she puts away money. How else is she going to buy the field? She puts away money and she plants for the future. Her concerns are not simply for herself, but rather she's preparing for everybody together. She prepares today in order to have a harvest tomorrow. She plants the vineyard. She anticipates what the needs can be, may be, will be, and she prepares for it. Likewise, she plans well and she works well. Verse 17, her arms are strong for the task because of all the work she's been doing. She probably goes to bed tired because of all the work she's been doing. Knowing that again tomorrow, the whole routine starts over. Yet she's faithful to care for those God has placed in her trust. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 shows to us that she realizes that the reward for her work comes from her work, the results of her work. Her work is profitable, verse 18 tells us. Her virtuous character actually causes her to prosper. And then when she prospers, her family as well prospers. God blesses godly character. Even if it means, notice here, verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. She is sensible enough to get the job done, even if it requires getting up before everyone else and going to bed after everyone else. She wants her household to succeed. You see the depth of responsibility, the sensibility, but also here the depth of love that she has towards her own. She gives it her all. So that at verse 19, you also see that she is skillful. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. That is to say that she masters her job. Distaff and spindle, those are tools for the spinning wheel. So you go from the sheep and the wheat to the wool and the flax, now to the spinning wheel. Her family's counting on her. And she knows it. She knows she has to work well. And if she wants to provide for her family, if she wants to be effective, she's going to have to be efficient as well. And so she is skilled at what she does. And notice something important about the virtuous woman, the virtuous mom. She is moved not by the tyranny of a demanding family. No, she is actually moved by a love and concern for her family, for her children, for her husband, even when that family is hard to love. She is still loving and concerned for them. You know, love is always a choice. We always decide who we're going to love and to what degree. And here we see that the virtuous woman is sensible enough to love the ones that God has placed in her care. She's industrious. She's sensible. Notice at verse 20, 21, and 22, a third characteristic. She is dignified. She's a dignified woman. Verse 20 tells us that she understands the worth of human life. Look at what it reads there. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She attempts to help the poor. Now, we know that we're always going to have the poor with us. We're never going to eradicate poverty. That is the plan and the hope that we have in heaven. But on this earth, we will always have the poor. Even Jesus Christ said that. And if Christ said it, then you know it's true. However, she is so dignified that she recognizes the value of human life, and she does what she can to help those that she can help. It's very similar to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. When he was given his marching orders into ministry, he was told, "But don't forget the poor." And he says, "That is exactly the very thing I am eager for, to help the poor." And that's what this virtuous woman is looking to do. She's dignified in that sense. At verse 21, it says that she properly cares for the health and well-being of her family as well. Notice there, it says that when it snows, she has no fear. She has no fear. Why? When it's cold outside? Because she has been dressing her family in wool that will keep them warm. You know, when we don't know what to expect, fear begins to set in. However, this woman, because of her character, because she is dignified, because she is an industrious person, she has no need to fear because she is prepared. In fact, it says here, verse 21, that her family is dressed in scarlet. Scarlet, the color red. Now, red is identified as the color for dignity. It was a very honorable color. It still is today. You know, when we have dignitaries come to our country, what is rolled out? A red carpet. It's the color of honor. And here, her family is listed as being dressed in scarlet, not just warmly, but honorably and warmly. Now, what I find interesting is that in ancient days, in order to get that red color onto their clothing, you had to develop a dye. And that dye came from a little worm called a Kermes worm. And it was this woman's job to collect all those worms and then separate them, male from female. That must have been a task. And then dry them. And the female worm would provide that red dye. It was a very tedious job, and yet it was something she was willing to do. Why? Because she wanted to care for her family. Notice here, verse 22, that she is dignified in private matters. She takes care of her bed, something nobody else is going to see, and yet she is careful to take care of her bed. She's also dignified in public matters. Notice what it says in the second half of verse 22. Notice there that she cares for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Purple, of course, being the color of quality. It was a very expensive color to purchase. Now, the text here is not saying that the virtuous woman buys the most expensive food, the most expensive clothing. It's not saying that she shopped at Saks Fifth Avenue. It is saying, however, that because she is dignified, she does care about her appearance. Because of her character, she is concerned with how she presents herself. It's not her number one priority, but it is a factor in her day-to-day life. She's dignified. So notice here, she's dignified in that she takes care of the needs of the poor. She's dignified in the sense that she takes care of the needs of her family. She's dignified in that she takes care of herself as well. A virtuous woman. Here is characteristic number 4, recorded beginning at verse 23 down to 26. The virtuous woman is also meek. Meek. What is meekness? Well, there's different ways to define meekness, but I like to say that meekness is the absence of pride when you have reason to be proud. The absence of pride, even though you have good reason to be proud. With all her outstanding qualities, this woman could very easily be a proud woman. And yet, notice here, verse 23, that her concern is not for her own ego, but rather she is concerned for who? Her husband. Her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is the most important person, human person, in her life. Now that is a difficult attitude to take on. I think it's a difficult attitude to take on because it's not always reciprocated. Now notice here, it does not say that her husband considered herself to be, or considered her to be, the most important person in his life. It doesn't say that. I would like to assume that's the case. If he was of any degree wise, he certainly would take care of his wife well in that sense. However, it does say that her concern, because she was meek, was for her husband, the most important person, human person, in her life. Now, it's often hard for us to make our spouses the number one person in our lives because often we make our children more important than our spouses. But more so, we tend to make ourselves more important than our spouses. You can never be meek like this if you make yourself the number one most important person in your own life. In this case here, she acknowledged the covenant of marriage. She understood what she got herself into willingly and lovingly when she covenanted with her husband and decided that they would live for the good of each other and for the glory of God together. And so, verse 23 says, her husband, because of her, her husband is respected at the city gates. Because of her godly character, because of what she was doing for him, he was respected at the city gates. The city gates, of course, was the place where the leaders, the city council would gather together to provide leadership for that community. And her husband was part of that leadership. It's said that behind every great man is even a greater woman. I think that's the case here. Meekness, my friends, is essential. And meekness is valued by God. The meek person does not demand position in life. The meek person does not make demands in regards to privileges, status, or position. You'll recall that Jesus Christ, because he was meek, was able to humble himself, as it's recorded in Philippians chapter 2. Without meekness, Christ would not be able to do what he did at the cross for us. Meekness is power under control. Do not laugh at meekness. Pray for it. At verse 24, under still the same heading, the idea shifts a little. And you'll notice at verse 24 that even though she can afford finer things, she is not idle. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. She's working. Doesn't seem like she needs to, but she's working. And she's making fine linen garments and belts. It may sound menial to you, but the truth is that meekness allows us to do things that others may consider to be beneath us. You see, meekness says that there's nothing, no good, legitimate work that is beneath us. And you see her working as a meek person. So that in verse 25, we read, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Forget the fact that she's adorned with these beautiful, expensive garments. More importantly, her soul is adorned with strength and dignity. Now, there is virtue. These are the priorities of this woman. And therefore, look at what it says, verse 25. She can laugh at the days to come. She doesn't need to fear the future. She is confident about the future. Why? Because she knows that she has been loyal to the precepts of God. She has been loyal to God himself through her home. And she knows that God will take care of those who are faithful to him. And so she laughs at the future. The virtuous woman is hardworking. She's sensible. She's dignified. She's meek. Here's number five. She is wise. She is wise. Beginning at verse 26, right down to verse 29. Now, there are two elements that are essential for wisdom to be gained. One is experience, and that comes with time. And number two is godly insight. That needs to be pursued. She is a wise woman. In fact, if you look at verse 26, you'll notice there that she speaks with wisdom. When she opens her mouth, wisdom pours out. It says here that along with that wisdom, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The old King James Version writes, the law of kindness is on her tongue. She provides faithful instruction to those who seek it, to those who seek advice. She abides in wisdom. That is to say that when she speaks to her friends, she speaks as a friend. She doesn't speak as a know-it-all. Rather, in meekness, wisdom rules her life. Verse 27, there we read that wisdom is seen in how she cares for her family affairs. Notice here that she is not lazy. She's not idle. She watches over her home like a vigilant night guard who is eager to make sure that everything is in order because it needs to be, because she wants to see them succeed, because she loves them, because she loves God. And so she watches over them wisely. Verse 28, her godly wisdom is obvious. Look there at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Her godly wisdom is evident to those who are watching. You know, eventually, if they haven't already, if you have godly wisdom, your children will eventually acknowledge it. They will eventually have to admit it. They'll see it. Mark Twain used to tell the story of how when he was 15 years old, he thought his father was the biggest dunce What a dope, what a dummy. But by the time Twain turned 25, his father had learned so much. My friends, if you have godly wisdom, in due time your children will see that godly wisdom. And not only your children, but your husband as well, ladies. How do you gain that wisdom? You do have to take time, but you also have to pursue it. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, says, pursue it by asking God for it. If you lack wisdom, we read in James, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. It will be given her. Your children will know that you are a blessed person when they begin to understand the depth of your godly wisdom. And they will praise you for it. Home for them will be a place where wisdom reigns and where love exists. Husbands, acknowledge the wisdom of your wives and praise them for it. Praise God for it. Listen, husbands, do not withhold praise from your dear wife. Let them know how God has blessed you through them. Now, verse 29 notes that many women have done excellent things, noble things. But as you can see here, this woman that this queen mother is speaking of, she has excelled above all the others. And look, God calls on you to be that woman. It's never too late. You may be young, you may be old. You may be at the verge of getting married. You may be just dreaming of marriage. You may have already gone beyond the marriage years. But it is never too late to become that virtuous woman. And God calls on you to become that person. And he calls on you to look to him to become that person. He wants to enable you to become that virtuous woman. Take a look at the last characteristic. The last, and I would say the most important of the six characteristics listed here. At verse 30, we see that she is a godly woman. A godly woman. Though her attention is drawn to various directions, notice here that her heart is steadfast in the Lord. She does not simply seize the day, carpe diem. No, she seizes the word of God. She's godly. There are two leading qualities that men look for. One is charm, the second is beauty. Charm, of course, referring to personality. How charming. But as we see here, and we know by experience, charm can be deceitful. The other is beauty. And beauty, a woman's appearance, her looks, may be very eye-catching. But as you well know, eventually it disappears, sometimes quickly. We read at verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, because it disappears. But women who fear the Lord, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She is worthy of praise. The woman who fears God. And in this world, that woman is becoming more and more rare. Harder and harder to find. So let me ask for you to turn the tide. Become the woman who is 100% sold out to God. And I'm not just speaking to women. Look, men, set the standard, set the pace. Become the man who is 100% sold out to God. Become that woman, that virtuous woman. Worthy of praise. Let me give a piece of advice to young men. Young men, Look for these characteristics in whatever woman you are looking to date or marry. Look for these virtuous characteristics. Why? Because charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. And some advice to some to you young ladies. Become that godly woman. Become that woman. The virtuous woman is one who will gain much. There is great reward in virtuous womanhood. The woman who is virtuous, one step at a time, one day at a time, as you well realize, we are the sum of all the small decisions we make from day to day. It's not the big decisions that impact us so much and mold us. The small decisions, the choices we make 100 times a day, those are the choices that will develop who we become. And the person who seeks after these virtues, with an emphasis on being godly, that person's reward will be all sorts of joy that comes from the hands of God and a life that is fulfilling. The very rewards that everybody looks for, but few people find because they are looking outside of the Word of God. Be that person. Your character is going to determine your own reputation, but it will also determine the reputation of the people around you, especially those for whom you are responsible. Of the virtuous woman, you will discover that the goodness of God will be so evident in your life, and you will long for more and more of Him. And the people who count will say great things about you. So that verse 31 reads this way. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. May God make this day a wonderful Mother's Day to you. But more so, may God work in us to develop these characteristics, these virtuous characteristics, that would mold us into His image. Let me pray with you. Our Lord and our Savior, we thank You. For although these characteristics are becoming more and more rare, we know, Lord, that they are not impossible. And that You, Holy Spirit, live to incorporate these very qualities into the lives of anyone who will pursue after You. So, Lord, give us the fortitude and the determination to become people of such virtue, to become women, wives, mothers, who are longing not for what the world offers, but for what You offer, and that they would receive the reward due as they pursue after these virtues. Bless our mothers, O God. Bless these women who care for these little ones and these older ones with Your wisdom and Your strength. And we pray, O Lord, that they would be praised among us as people who reflect You and seek after our success. In Your name we pray. Amen.